From KPFK, Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica Radio stations and affiliates nationwide. The Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change's new report on the oceans of the planet is devastating, not only in showcasing the impact of a warming planet, but also in terms of the pollution from plastic. By the year 2050, there will be more plastic in our oceans than fish. With the plastics recycling industry having essentially come to a halt and fossil fuel industries looking to expand plastic production, there's great urgency in tackling this issue. Bills at the state level in California and at the federal level in the US are hoping to address the plastics crisis. But will they pass given the political landscape? My guest is Emily Rush, Executive Director of CalPERG and CalPERG Education Fund. Welcome to the program, Emily.
Thank you so much for having me, Sonali.
So let's, you know, for those who aren't familiar with the scale of the problem, I summarized it briefly in my intro, but how do you explain to the public how deeply important an issue this is? We think, all right, plastic is recyclable. You drink a bottle of water, you toss it in your recycling bin, you're being responsible. But it's not that simple, is it?
It's not that simple. For starters, a lot of the plastics that we use right now aren't recyclable, either because there's just a hardship in actually translating it into other materials, or there just isn't the market to actually buy that used plastic and turn it into something else. And we're finding plastic pollution in more and more places that we never thought we'd find it before. You know, whether it's at the deepest section of the Monterey Bay to Lake Tahoe, you know, which it was reported on earlier in August, we're finding plastic pollution almost everywhere in our environment.
In our bodies, in our children's bodies, in pregnant women's, fetuses, everywhere.
That's exactly right. It's now, breathing in plastic particles in the air that we breathe. There's plastic particles in a lot of the food that we eat. We don't know all of the effects on our health that will entail, but we know it probably isn't good for us, especially since plastics can contain some chemicals like bisphenol A that we know have harmful side effects for our health.
So we have continued to dump plastic into our environment at an alarming rate. We should remind ourselves this is a petroleum product. This is a byproduct of the fossil fuel industry, right? And at the same time as China has stopped accepting recyclable plastic, we're seeing fossil fuel industries think about diverting and really projecting a future market for their products in plastics, because they see the writing on the wall. They see that oil and gas is ramping down with the climate crisis. And I think they're hoping that the public doesn't realize that plastics have a similar impact on climate change. But on top of that, they also pollute the atmosphere in a different way than oil and gas do.
That's exactly right. Plastic is a petroleum product, and I do believe that there are many in the petroleum industry who are looking to producing plastics as a growth market for them, that they can increase their sales and use of petroleum through the plastics industry. Of course, that's exactly why we need to actually take a deep look at how we're using plastics and figure out all the ways that we can cut back.
So plastics, especially what are called single-use plastics, are ubiquitous. People use something that's encased in plastic, especially plastic packaging, once, and then it's tossed away. But that plastic thing will live for practically ever in our landfills, getting into our oceans. California has been a leader on the issue of dealing with plastic pollution. City by city, there have been plastic bag bans. There are local and larger bans on plastic straws. How do you assess where this state is, and then give us an overview of the bills that had been considered on addressing plastic pollution in California, the most populous state in the nation?
I do think that California is a place where, just as we have on so many environmental issues, we can lead the way to show the rest of the country that we don't need to be using nearly as much single-use plastic as we're using today. And part of that is our collective affinity to the Pacific Ocean and the coastline that we hold dear, and knowing the growing public awareness that a lot of the plastics that we use end up in our oceans, harming marine wildlife. And I also think because, you know, particularly our experience with the plastic bag ban, we saw a number of cities throughout California banning or restricting the single-use plastic bags in grocery stores. Eventually, so many cities took action that the grocery manufacturers came to the environmentalists and said, you know, hey, we need to have a statewide bill on this because we can't be following 100 different ordinances across the state. And so that's why California passed a law back in 2014 restricting single-use plastic bags in grocery stores. The voters held up that law on the ballot. And I think most California residents would agree it's not that bad. We can bring our own cloth grocery bags to the store, reusable bags, and use a lot less plastic in the state.
So what about the issue of plastic straws? That was a big issue as well, right, in California?
Yeah. You know, there was a bill last year in 2018 that was championed by Assemblymember Ian Calderon. That bill got a lot of press. What it really said was in a sit-down restaurant environment, restaurants shouldn't be giving out plastic straws to people unless they ask for them. The idea being, sure, if you need a plastic straw, if you need or want a straw to drink, we should use them. But we should be trying to cut out unnecessary, wasteful use of plastic wherever we can. And while, you know, I think that it's one small amount of plastic, it is indicative of the larger types of change that we need to see. We don't want to be throwing away as so much absurd plastic as we are today.
And so we had a number of bills in front of the state legislature over the past several months that went even further. Tell us about the plastic waste bills before California and what happened to them.
Sure. Well, the big bills that we were working on were two identical bills moving through the Senate and Assembly. Their full name was the Circular Economy and Plastic Pollution Reduction Act, carried by Senator Ben Allen and Assemblymember Lorena Gonzalez. And what those bills were really attempting to do is actually look at the entire packaging industry and plastic foodware, plates, silverware, you know, or utensils, cups, and actually looking to and saying, we want to cut all this plastic waste from packaging and foodware by 75% by 2030. What do we need to do to get there? And so the bill started by saying, first, we're going to actually authorize CalRecycle, which is our statewide recycling agency, to actually be able to regulate the manufacturers to figure out ways that they can cut down packaging waste, whether it's making that plastic bag of chips that you buy a little smaller, or thinking through like Amazon, like transport. How do we actually just reduce the amount of single-use packaging that we're using today? Second, how do we make sure that all of that packaging and foodware is material that can be recycled or composted in the future? And third, how do we make sure that actually that material is being recycled, to actually holding industry accountable to figuring out other uses for their products after they're used?
And so what happened to this bill? I'm assuming the plastics industry lobbied against it, got together, got organized, poured their huge amounts of funding to beat them back.
There was industry opposition to these bills. As you can see from my description, they're pretty comprehensive in a really inspiring and way. These bills would make a huge impact if they passed. But we did run into some opposition from some members of the business community and the plastics industry. The good news is that the authors worked really hard to make sure that there were a set of companies and businesses that they could find common ground with, as well as having a large number of organizations, not only environmental organizations supporting the bills, but also local government agencies. You know, cities and counties are often at the forefront of dealing with our waste. So they want to see a lot less of it because it costs a lot of money for those cities and counties to get rid of waste. So we have a pretty strong coalition in support of the bills. They did not pass before the end of the legislative session this year, which was on September 13th. But we can bring them back for a vote as early as January of 2020. So that's exactly what I'm advocating for.
So, and before we get to the bills at the federal level, I just want to look at the way in which the sort of the dirty tricks of the opposition that formed this front group to oppose these bills. And the name of this front group was the Californians for Recycling and the Environment. This just made me really angry. So tell us a little bit about these. And, you know, this is the sort of standard greenwashing that these industries engage in, knowing that the public actually cares about this issue and exploiting that concern to enact the opposite agenda in favor of their profits.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, the good news I'll say on this particular tactic was that a lot of lawmakers saw right through it right away, and the media started widely reporting on the fact that the industry had formed this nice-sounding front group to try and oppose the bill. So I, for example, was in a hearing on the bills in late August or early September, and a spokesperson for this front group came up and stated their opposition, and immediately legislators were like, hey, but wait, who are you funded by? You know, they knew it was an industry front group. But we see that all the time. You know, the fact that the plastic bag industry funded a ballot measure in California back in 2016 to try and trick voters into overturning the plastic bag ban, you know, is another example of the types of tricks that industry will play to try and confuse voters. Luckily, California voters saw right through that and upheld the plastic bag ban. But we've seen in other states, state lawmakers actually passing laws trying to restrict local bans on types of plastic like polystyrene or plastic bags. So industry has been successful in other places.
In fact, conservatives have made it an ideological fight now to promote overuse of resources, to promote deregulation, to promote, you know, as much plastic as possible, because somehow that's equivalent to American freedom and paper straws are a socialist plot to undermine America. Anyway, let's talk about the federal bills. There is an ambitious bill at the federal level introduced by Alan Lowenthal and Senator Tom Udall. Tell me about the federal bill that's in the works right now.
Yeah, so CalPERC is strongly supporting this effort by Senator Udall and our very own Senator Alan Lowenthal from California to try and take a comprehensive look at how we can actually reduce the amount of single-use plastic we're using across the country and put more responsibility on producers of that plastic to try and figure out how to reuse it, recycle it, and use it again. The bill is, there's an outline of the bill that's public now. I think there'll be a full draft of the bill that's public soon. But that is the effort that CalPERC is putting all of our weight behind at the federal level.
So is this, where is this bill in terms of where it needs to head? Is it just in the very, very early stages and you're just trying to get public support to back it?
That's exactly, I mean, that it's in the early stages it will be fully introduced soon. And that is exactly right, that we're already mobilizing our supporters and allies to try and have a strong demonstration of support for this effort across the country, not just from Californians, but from states everywhere.
And so this particular bill, would it be based in part or in any part on some of the California bills that we were just discussing that are, you know, that have now been put off to the next session?
Yeah, in that it does take a look at how we can reduce specific items that we think are easy for the public to wrap our heads around and reduce, like polystyrene, also known as styrofoam, or single-use plastic bags. But it also is taking a look at this idea of actually trying to reduce some of our plastic use overall and the responsibility of producers, just like the California bill that's pending now, of actually trying to put the responsibility on producers to have to figure out ways to recycle their products after they are used. The other thing the bill does that we're very supportive of is it actually incentivizes states to stop passing these laws trying to restrict the efforts of the state, local government from, you know, enacting their own bans on single-use plastics. So there's a set of incentives in the bill to penalize states who are doing so and try to encourage them to allow cities, states, counties to actually do their own plastic bag bans, their own polystyrene bans, you know, their own bans on single-use plastics wherever they can.
Now, isn't our production, our use and abuse, I should say, of plastic based on the cheapness of it? We are flooded in single-use plastics. Manufacturers of, you know, all sorts of items, whether you're talking about children's toys or food, are using plastic for packaging because it's so easily available, it's so cheap, and it's so convenient, but mostly it's because it's so cheap. Is that financial aspect of this critical to understand? Because fossil fuel industries receive huge public subsidies, don't they?
They do. We receive a lot of subsidies for the extraction of fossil fuels. But just as you say, it is kind of amazing and absurd that we can spend all this time and energy taking a product like petroleum and turning it into a plastic spoon or fork. And somehow it's cheaper to just throw that away and buy a new one than it is to turn it into something new. We obviously have to realign the financial incentives so that we're doing a lot less of that in the future. Otherwise, we're going to have an environment and oceans filled with plastic debris.
I mean, the statistic that I mentioned about there being more plastic in the oceans than fish by the year 2050, that's what one study found. We're already straining our oceans so dramatically by the warming that we're causing through the emissions of carbon dioxide. We're polluting our oceans in two ways, right? Polluting them by heating them up through carbon dioxide emissions in the atmosphere, and then by dumping all this plastic that has a tremendously detrimental impact on marine life, also on the fishing industry, and in turn, human health. This is just such folly, and we're not hearing much about this aspect of the climate crisis in the protests and the marches or at the United Nations. It's mostly from organizations like yours that this issue gets raised. But I imagine that if the public knew more, if there was a better education, public education about this, that there would be a much bigger sense of outrage and more widespread outrage about the fact that we're taking these, you know, this product from our ground, spending all this time, energy, and effort to extract it, turning it into little bits of one single-use plastic. For what? Because a bunch of corporations can make money, and it's a little convenient for us.
And I do think we have this false belief that we need to keep our economic engine running. We have to keep creating more and more and more stuff, producing and selling more and more stuff for people to buy and use, and that will keep our economy growing and give people jobs and, you know, give people money. When in reality, we need to be thinking of totally new ways of structuring our economy that's less about stuff and more about how we provide for each other in other ways.
Is there the backlash that we saw in California from the industry wanting to emphasize recycling over conservation? Do you see that at the federal level as well? Are there conservative opponents to this federal bill that Senators Tom Udall and Alan Lowenthal are introducing that says, well, no, we should just be, you know, we are also concerned about plastic pollution, but we should be investing in better recycling systems?
That's right. I mean, in fact, there was a hearing this week in Congress for another bill in Congress called Save Our Seas that was more focused on how to improve recycling than it is on reducing our overall use of single-use plastic. That bill, we've been working with the sponsors of that bill, Senators Whitehouse and Senator Sullivan, to try and improve the language of that bill. But ultimately, that bill is less focused on what we really need to do, which is actually stop our incessant production and use of plastic.
It seems to be in line with this idea of endless economic growth, our endless use of plastic, you know, constant consumption, as if that's somehow equivalent to how free we are as a people. So where can people find out more? Where's the, tell me a little bit about the public education campaign that your organization, CalPERG, is engaged in. I understand that you have a petition and a way for people to get in touch with their representatives on your website?
That's right. So on our website, and that's at calperg.org, we have petitions to both our federal members of Congress in support of the strong congressional bill that we're working with Senators Udall and Lowenthal, or we're working with our members of Congress on. But then we also have a petition to our state legislators to support the Plastic Pollution Reduction Act at the state level, which we're hoping comes up in January in California. We'd love for everyone to take action and learn more on our campaign page, which is called Beyond Plastics.
And so that's calperg.org as well as Beyond Plastics, the campaign page. So in January, when California lawmakers return to start the new session, it would be a great target for local organizers who care about this issue, including those who have been working on the climate, to push their state representatives to move forward on this bill, right? Do you have any sense that Governor Gavin Newsom would sign these bills? I mean, California is now controlled at the in both legislative bodies by Democrats, and our governor is a Democrat. We should be able to pass such bills very easily, shouldn't we?
Well, certainly, I agree that the California legislature should pass this bill with both Democratic and Republican support, ideally. And we're hopeful that Governor Gavin Newsom, you know, would sign this bill as well. Certainly, it's consistent with many of the priorities he's shared. I will actually point you back to, there was a poll done by the Public Policy Institute of California back this summer that showed that 90% of Californians, regardless of income level or where they live, 90% of Californians think plastic pollution and marine debris in our ocean is a problem. Hmm. So we need our lawmakers to enact solutions to this problem.
Well, I want to thank you so much, Emily, for joining us today. Really appreciate it. Maybe we can have you back on in January to discuss where the California bills are going.
That sounds great. Thank you so much for having me on today.
Emily Rush is Executive Director of CalPERG and CalPERG Education Fund. We've been discussing the legislative efforts at the California state level and at the federal level in Washington, D.C. to address plastic pollution. I'm Sonali Kohatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Also follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at RU with Sonali.